So today, turning to our notes, we want to focus on the appointed duties in God's house. I've lifted a phrase from chapter 24 and verse 3, where it speaks of David organizing them according to the appointed duties in their service. And today I want us to think about appointed duties, that is, how ordinary people from the families of Israel served God in both their religion and their country. They served both they served God in their service to Him and in their religious duties to one another, but they also served God very actively in the nation, that is, in their country, where they were part of the law of the people of God. Today we want to see, as I just mentioned a few moments ago, that there are two big divisions. In chapters 23 through 26, we see the Levites. I believe that in chapter 23, we see the total number of 38,000, and then that's broken down into various groups in verses 4 and 5 of 1 Chronicles 23. 38,000, 24 of these have charge of the work in the house of the Lord, 6,000 to be officers and judges, 4,000 to be gatekeepers, and 4,000 shall offer praises. That is, this is the breakdown of the total of the 38,000 Levites who are numbered. And then in chapter 27, we see a much broader, now we see the armies and we see the tribal leaders and such things. But we can look at all of these today under this concept of the appointed duties in God's house and also in the nation. When life is peaceful, and I would remind you that Solomon now is made king and his name means peace, then labor can be divided according to the king's command and community need. Today we survey 5 chapters of personnel assignments, giving families and tribes in Israel a stake in the Solomonic temple. I want to remind you, when you hear this phrase, Solomonic temple, we're talking about the first Jewish temple, which was built beginning right around 1000 BC, and it then survived until it was destroyed in 586 BC. So a very significant period of time, in 500 years in round numbers. Then Israel went into exile for 70 years. They came back and they rebuilt that temple, and that's then known as the Second Temple. And many of these assignments from the Solomonic Temple would yet be in place 1,000 years later in the Second Temple during Jesus' time. Today I want to challenge you to consider your, quote, appointed duties in the new covenant body of Christ. Consider how you can more joyfully and faithfully serve for a lifetime in God's spiritual house. So the first point today is summarizing chapter 23, a tribe of dedicated Levites, a tribe of dedicated Levites. And I want you to see that this entire chapter is filled with something that was established much, much earlier in the time of Moses. That is that the tribe of Levi has a unique role to play in God's plan for Israel. And so we've read the first 5 verses, but I'd like you to also look with me at verse 25. It says in 1 Chronicles 23:25, "For David said, 'The Lord, the God of Israel, has given rest to his people, and he dwells in Jerusalem forever.'" And so the Levites no longer need to carry the tabernacle or any of the things for its service. "For by the last words of David, the sons of Levi were numbered from 20 years old and upward. For their duty was to assist the sons of Aaron for the service of the house of the Lord, having the care of the courts and the chambers, the cleansing of all that is holy, and any work for the service of the house of God. Their duty was also to assist with the showbread, the flour for the grain offering, the wafers of unleavened bread, the baked offering, and the offering mixed with oil, and all measures of quantity or size. And they were to stand every morning, thanking and praising the Lord, and likewise at evening, and whenever burnt offerings were offered to the Lord, on Sabbaths, on new moons, and feast days, according to the number required of them, regularly before the Lord. Thus they were, and here's a very interesting word, they were to keep charge of the tent of meeting and the sanctuary, and to attend the sons of Aaron, their brothers, for the service of the house of the Lord. 38,000 Levites are here set aside to the service of the Lord. And friends, we need to see and feel the weight of that, that this was a setting aside not for a few weeks or months, but to a lifetime of faithful service in the temple of God. All right, this brings us then to the second point this morning, and that is the 24 divisions of priests. Now, I've been trying to think about how do these subsequent chapters correspond. I think that there are probably 6,000 lineal descendants of Aaron and his sons, of Eleazar and Ithamar, who become what chapter 23, verse 4, calls officers and judges. And so I have written above chapter 24, 6,000 with a question mark. I can't prove this from the text, but I think that that's what's going on. And so here now we're focusing not on the tribe of Levi as a whole, but specifically on the biological descendants of Eleazar and Ithamar. If you remember, there were four sons of Aaron, but the first two, there are there in verse 1, verse 2, but Nadab and Abihu died before their father and had no children. So Eleazar and Ithamar became the priests. And now from these two priests, all those who can trace their descendants to these are there. So in verse 3, we see there's two main priests that now are working with David, with the help of Zadok of the sons of Eleazar and Ahimelech the sons of Ithamar. So these are the two high priests. They're not really the high priests, but the two main priests that were serving in David's day. So David works now with them, and they get this whole setup involved. Notice there are no numbers attached to this in chapter 24. But what we have is now there are 24 rotations of priests, and they are each to come month by month and to serve. Verse 19 says, these had as their appointed duty in their service to come into the house of the Lord according to the procedure established for them by Aaron their father, as the Lord God of Israel had commanded. And so, but I do particularly want to point out here verse 7 and verse 10 from this chapter. In verse 10, we see that the eighth rotation is given to Abijah. And so if you have a cross references, you'll see that there's a cross reference here to Luke chapter 1. If you don't, you ought to write that in and make this connection, because this is the same name that's used here that's used in Luke chapter 1 and verse 5. A second piece of historical information, the first lot in verse 7 fell to Jehoiarib. Now, I don't know, I haven't studied this in great detail, but I do know that Matthias, who is the father of the Maccabean kings, he was a Levite who was in this first rotation of Jehoiarib in 1 Maccabees chapter 2 and verse 1, which is not in the Bible. This is extra-biblical literature, but we learn of this connection. So these are the divisions of the priests. All right. So so again, if you want to try to be fitting these into chapter 23 and verses 4 and 5, the numbers that are there, I think that these 6,000 will be officers and judges. They probably have other duties, but these are the descendants of Levi who are the priests serving in the house of the Lord. All right, this then leads us to chapter 25, and I want to keep moving here this morning. And in chapter 25, I see three, quote, musical prophets. Three musical prophets plus 288 trained singers. Okay, and again, just to help you make this connection, chapter 23 and verse 5 speaks of 4,000 who shall offer praises to the Lord. Okay, so 4,000 of these 38,000 Levites, their job is to offer praises to the Lord. And I believe that that's what we see then laid out in chapter 25. Now, chapter 25 is interesting because it has three what I'm calling musical prophets, and I'll show you why in just a second. But the these three guys, Asaph and Heman and Jeduthun, okay, these three men, and all three of these men write some of the psalms that are in the Psalter. So you can actually do a word study on these three names, and I think that Jeduthun only writes one, Heman may write two or three, but Asaph is one of the most prolific of the psalmists in the Psalter. But I want you to notice here in verse 1, it says, David and the chiefs of the service also set apart for the service the sons of Asaph and of Heman and of Jeduthun, who, and I want you to circle this word in your Bibles, who prophesied with lyres, with harps, and with cymbals. Then go on down partway through verse 2. We see the sons of Asaph under the direction of Asaph, who, here's the word again, prophesied. Okay, that's the second use of this word. And then down in verse 3, we have their father Jeduthun, who prophesied with the lyre in thanksgiving and praise to the Lord. I want you to notice here that, and this is all under the rubric of the Davidic covenant, as David is arranging these things, these men are not simply making sounds. They are singing, they are prophesying what is true in the context of the temple worship. We also have an interesting phrase in verse 5, all these were the sons of Heman, the king's seer. And I want you to notice that word here. He's the prophet of the king. And remember, Samuel was called a seer before he became a prophet. And so there's some fascinating things here as we have these who prophesy, but they prophesy in the form of song in the context of God's worship. And then look down with me at verse 6. It says, they were all under the direction of their father in the music in the house of the Lord with cymbals, harps, and lyres for the service of the house of God. Asaph, Jeduthun, and Heman were under the order of the king. The number of them, along with their brothers, who were trained in singing to the Lord, all who were skillful, were 288. And they cast lots for their duties, small and great, teacher and pupil alike. And then the remainder of the chapter describes these families, very large families, sons and brothers numbering 12 from each one of these families. And I've gone through, I have done this and done the math here, and this total comes to 288, exactly as it says in verse 7. So, under the rubric of the Levites, first we have the priests, and second of all, now we have the musical prophets and their assistants, including those who would play instruments and those who would sing psalms in the temple. This leads us then to chapter 26. I'm sorry I'm moving quickly here, but we do want to keep going. Again, in chapter 23 and verse 5, it speaks of 4,000 gatekeepers among the Levites. And now here in chapter 26, we see the gatekeepers. And so, point number 4, chapter 26, the gatekeepers, and the bankers. The gatekeepers and the bankers. And so again, a lot of names here, a lot of families, a lot of towns being referenced. We have Obed-Edom shows up. Remember that the Ark of the Covenant had been kept in the house of Obed-Edom. Now here in this, down in verse 8, we have the sons of Obed-Edom. We don't know that this is the same man, but it could be. With their sons and brothers, able men qualified for service, 62 of Obed-Edom. And these are men that now are being given the honor and the duty of guarding the gates. Now, I don't know all of the details here, but I want you to be aware that we're going to see a different group of soldiers. So these gatekeepers are not soldiers. Rather, I'm calling them police. That is, they're keeping watch over people coming into the temple, the things happening in the temple. And so they're not soldiers with spears, but they're more like security officers. Think of like at Westridge Mall, the security officers there, they're not armed, but they do nonetheless provide a security function. And one of those is if you come into the mall doing inappropriate things, you will be escorted out of the mall, and they'll feel free to call the cops on you. And so this is kind of like a security force keeping things in order, but also keeping track of clean and unclean in the temple, people who are not allowed to come into the temple precinct. There's a lot of things going on here. And I wanted to point out here verses 14 and 15. It says, and so they're casting lots by their father's houses. So the lot for the east fell to Shelemiah. They cast lots also for his son Zechariah, a shrewd counselor, and his lot came out for the north. Obed-Edom's came out for the south, and to his sons was allotted the gatehouse. For Shupim and Hosa, it came out for the west, at the gate of Shalaketh, on the road that goes up. Watch corresponded to watch. And so then it describes the watches there. So apparently, under these four men, now are given the gates of the temple on the north, on the south, on the east, on the west. And so there's some very interesting things there. I would encourage you to read these carefully. In the second part of chapter 26, then we see those who I'm calling the bankers. That is, those who were in charge of the treasuries. And here we have to think a little different than our banking, where most of what bankers do is receive money from people and give money to people. This was probably more like guarding Fort Knox. That is, that as the kings went out to war, they would bring back booty, and apparently a lot of that would be stored in the temple. And so they're kind of like bankers, but they're also kind of like security guards. And so there's a lot of description here of these people. And there's reference, you can look down through and mark the word dedicated gifts. There were all of these dedicated gifts that had been brought home, sometimes from war, sometimes from the giving of the people of Israel. And all of that was stored there in the temple. Again, in the time in which this is happening, all of these are going to be used in the building of the temple. And so that could be figuring in here too. Okay, so a lot of interesting things there. And all of this is, in my understanding of this passage, is those 38,000 Levites, the ways that they were serving in the temple. Now we come to point 5, That is chapter 27. I'm going to give you the title here. Chapter 27 describes the 12 army rotations, the 12 army rotations, and tribal leaders. Okay, so the 12 army rotations, this is the first 15 verses. And now, as I pointed out at the beginning of the sermon, this is where we're moving from specifically Levites to general leaders. And this is, I believe, the core, the professional core of Israel's army. So I want you to notice that we go beginning in verse 2 all the way down through verse 15, we have a rotation of 12 rotations of 24,000 soldiers in each rotation. And so, children, I don't know if you've ever seen like a military convoy or something like that where people are you're driving along the road and all of a sudden you see all of the camouflaged vehicles, and I've seen them stretched out for a quarter of a mile before, just Jeep after Humvee after tanker, with big trailers, with bulldozers, those sorts of things. Or I remember one time I was right down by the Topeka Rescue Mission, sitting there, and all of a sudden the where that crossing is right by the Topeka Rescue Mission, and the gates went down, and all of a sudden there was an entire train. I counted at least 50 cars. Each railroad car had two M1 A1 Abrams tanks on it. And I thought about, wow, we just have had a massive amount of firepower entering into Topeka. They were probably being shipped east somewhere. But it was amazing to think about. And we need to be aware that there's military hardware, but mostly what you have in the military are people who are dedicated to justice, to the defense of their country, of their people, of their families. And so chapter 27 really now is shifting from the temple to the people of Israel. 27 verse 1 says, "This is the number of the people of Israel, the heads of fathers' houses, the commanders of thousands and hundreds, and their officers who served," notice, "the king in all matters concerning the divisions that came and went month after month throughout the year, each division numbering 24,000. So apparently, all from all around different tribes in Israel, there were these divisions, these groups of soldiers that they would serve 1 month every 2 years. So there are, 1 month a year. So before there were 24 divisions for the priests. Here there are 12 divisions. So think of 12 military divisions. In this time, each division had 24,000 people. And at the end of the month, there would be this whole transfer of authority that would take place. And you would live in Jerusalem, and all of a sudden you would hear the army march, march, march coming up the road. And the gates would open. And those who had been serving for a month would be all packed up, ready to go home, and there would be like a changing of the guard. And one division would stand down, and they would march out of Jerusalem after a division was stood up, and they came, they spread out throughout the whole city, they went to their posts, and there was then a transfer of authority from one division to the next. And so, again, it doesn't describe all the details of that here, but we do learn a lot of about people going through here. So each division is 24,000. So look at some of these. look at down at verse 5. It says, "The third commander for the third month was Benaiah." I have a friend named Benaiah, named after this guy. "The son of Jehoiada, the chief priest." So here's Jehoiada the chief priest, and his son is now the commander of one of these divisions. So he would be a Levite, but others here we're confident are not Levites. And so look also down in verse 10, we see reference to the sons of Ephraim. We have a lot of more local names attached to many of these divisions in verse 12. We have the ninth division. This was headed by Abiezer of Anathoth, a Benjamite. In his division were 24,000. So here we have the tribe of Benjamin featured prominently. And then down in verse 14, we have another reference to the sons of Ephraim. So these are not distinctly ethnic groups. This is more of the professional army, probably had been raised and trained by King David. But I just want you to see that we have these 12 rotations, month by month throughout the year, who would be coming in to guard the capital city of Jerusalem. And then finally, in verses 16 and following, we have these tribal leaders. And again, these are leaders of each one of the tribes. Probably, if we think of like our governors, we have 50 states in the United States, and each one of those has a governor. And we've been hearing a lot about the governors on the news recently. And so I want to encourage you to think that way about the 12 tribes and who are the governors, and sometimes it'll mention subordinate officers as well. In verse 25, we come back to those who are over the king's treasuries, then those who are over his vineyards, over his wine cellars, over the olive and sycamore trees in the Shephelah, the herds that are pastured there. Verse 30, over the camels, over the donkeys, over the flocks. All of these were stewards of King David's property. So this is where that record is placed. Then verses 32 through 34 are an interesting conclusion here. And I wanted to close by reading this. It says, Jonathan, David's uncle, was a counselor, being a man of understanding and a scribe. He and Jehiel, the son of Hachmoni, attended the king's sons. Ahithophel was the king's counselor, and Hushai the Archite was the king's friend. Ahithophel was succeeded by Jehoiada, remember we saw him a little while ago, the son of Benaiah, and Abiathar. Joab was commander of the king's army. And so apparently, again, under this civil division, Joab was kind of the boss of the boss, and he's the last one, and probably the one with the most authority in all of these things. So again, if we can kind of think here, civilian rule and military rule, that may be a way to think about this. The civilians would be like the people from among the people, their job is to care for the worship of God, the people of God. And then the military would be those directly under the king, under the commander of his army. And we have those many names mentioned as well. Anyway, this is a quick overview, and there are some interesting things to find here in these chapters. But I'd like to conclude today by asking a very simple question, and that is, what is your assigned duty in God's house? Again, in chapter 24 and verse 3, we have this specific phrase, David organized them according to the appointed duties in their service. The fact of the matter is, friends, that David had a critical role to play in the people of God and in the leadership of both the preparations for the building of the temple. He's the king of Israel, and God has commissioned him to do that. And also then over the nation and over the protection, the economics, all of those things of the nation of Israel. Today, everybody wants to be king. We have this tendency in our country of kind of like the book of Judges, everyone doing what's right in their own eyes. We need to see, friends, that what God does is he arranges people. He arranges them as part of a greater whole. And here I would point to 1 Corinthians 12 and 13 as the modern day or the new covenant expression of what's being taught here in Chronicles. That is that we also have assigned duties. We need to feel the assignment that God has given to us. Sometimes those assignments are more formal. And so in the New Testament, we see the roles of apostle and prophet are pretty well defined. We see the roles of elders, both ruling and teaching elders, and of deacons, pretty well defined in the New Testament. But then there's a variety of other roles and duties that need to be done. And I was just sitting and thinking about, and I love this, I get to see this probably more than some as the pastor of our church, but I've been thinking, I've been praying for the people who count the people and know who's gone each week when we gather for worship. I was thinking about the people who count the offering from Sunday school. I was thinking about our Sunday school teachers. I was thinking about our janitors. I was thinking about those who do such a great job. It's looked really good, the grass here at our church. All through this pandemic, the grass has looked great because of the faithful labors of our deacons and others. I just praise God for the way that in the new covenant as well as in the old covenant, there are assigned duties in God's house. And I want you to imagine, children especially, I want you to imagine if your dad got the job of being a gatekeeper. His job was to stand beside a gate and make sure that unclean people didn't come in and that there was not the perversion of the worship of God. They were the temple guards. They were the security guards for the temple. And now for the rest of known time, the father would teach the son his job, and then the son would take that on, and then he would teach his son and his grandson and his great-grandson. And you now have a place, a role to play in God's house. And so as people would come year after year by the thousands to the temple, your job was to be in that place with your tools, serving in your assigned duty in God's house. And so I want you to notice here, number one, these are by families. It's not raw individuals. These duties were given to families, and it was the responsibility of fathers to raise up their sons in their place from generation to generation. Sometimes that happens successfully. Because children believed the gospel, they believed the teachings of their parents, and they were raised up and they faithfully served. But what would happen if the sons of Gershon or the sons of Kohath said, you know, I'm not really into this temple thing anymore. I'm going to go and live like the pagans. Oh, friends, what a serious thing that would be. That now there would be a hole where there ought to be someone serving. There would be a hole. And when you have whole families that break away, for example, when the 10 tribes break away in the reign of Rehoboam, what do you think that did to the functioning of the temple? Friends, we need to see that God has designed one body with one baptism, with one Lord, with one Spirit living within us. And that we have a specific role to play. And so in conclusion, I want to just ask you, first of all, what has God commanded? What has God commanded? That is part of your assigned duty in God's house. Look carefully to the Bible. Particularly, you should know that our church believes that that in the pastoral epistles, in particular, we now see the church settled in its new covenant norms. And so we look to those books in a particular way in terms of duties and assignments and roles in terms of how do we fit into the covenant community in the new covenant. And those are very interesting books to read and to consider. Families, husbands and wives and children, servants, employers and employees, to think about elders and deacons. The pastoral epistles talk a lot about those. To think about the important role that widows play in the ministry of the church. It's fascinating to consider what God has commanded. But secondly, what are your gifts? What are the things that God has made you good at? And is there a way that you can find a particular way to use your particular gifts to the glory of the Lord? This is another way that God assigns duties. And thirdly, what are your means? What do you have to give in service to the Lord? Some of you have almost no time. You're very busy, but you have a lot of money. Give to the Lord. Some of you have no money at all, but you have a lot of time. Give to the Lord. There are appointed duties, both in Old Covenant and in New Covenant, to God's house. One was a physical temple in a physical Jerusalem in the physical nation of Israel. The other is a spiritual house, the church, among all the nations throughout all the rest of time. But find your place. Roll up your sleeves. Listen carefully to the directions of God and to the directions of his under-shepherds, and roll up your sleeves and serve him. Friends, we need to be those who joyfully and faithfully fulfill our appointed duties to the Lord. Let's pray. O Lord our God, how we thank you for all that you've given to us. We pray that you would lead us and guide us as we consider these callings that you have for us. Lord, thank you that you are God. Thank you that you have established a house for your name. Lord, we want to serve you faithfully and joyfully throughout all our days. In Jesus' name, amen.